بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته ومن اهتدى بهديه واتبع سنته إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، نستأنف الاجتماع فيما يتعلق بدرس لكتاب التوحيد للشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمة الله عليه، الذي قطعنا منه شوطا، ونرجو الله جل وعلا أن يوفقنا لإتمامه وأن ينفعنا جميعا بما نسعى، ونقول إنه مجيب الدعاء. تفضل.
The Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى، and Allah preserve him, began by praising Allah and sending salams upon beloved Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he said, we will continue reading from our lesson, our weekly lesson of Kitab al-Tawheed, by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And this book, we have finished a portion, or we have completed a portion of the book. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make this beneficial for us and to be able to complete the book. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال الشيخ الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: باب من جهد شيئا من الأسماء والصفات، وقول الله تعالى: وهم يكفرون بالرحمن قل هو ربي لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وإليه متاب. وفي صحيح البخاري قال علي رضي الله عنه: حدث الناس بما يعرفون، أتريدون أن يكذب الله ورسوله؟ وروى عبد الرزاق عن معمر عن ابن طاووس عن أبيه عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه رأى رجلا انتفض لما سمع حديثا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصفات استنكارا لذلك، فقال: ما فرق هؤلاء؟ يجدون رقة عند محكمه ويحلفون عند متشابهه. ولما سمعت قريش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الرحمن أنكروا ذلك، فأنزل الله فيهم وهم يكفرون بالرحمن. فيه مسائل: الأولى عدم الإيمان بجحد شيء من الأسماء والصفات، الثانية تفسير آية الرعد، الثالثة ترك التحديث بما لا يفهم السامع، الرابعة ذكر العلة أنه يفضي إلى تأديب الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو لم يتعمد المنكر، الخامسة كلام ابن عباس لمن استنكر شيئا من ذلك وأنه أهلكه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا كتاب الباب المختصر من الأبواب المهمة في هذا الكتاب، وهذا الكتاب إنما يعالج أمر التوحيد، توحيد الله جل وعلا وإفراده بالعبادة، والإيمان بأسمائه وصفاته جل وعلا. فيقول رحمة الله عليه: باب. كأنه قال هذا باب يبين فيه أمر من جحد الشيء من الأسماء والصفات. الباب من جحد من الأسماء والصفات، وقول الله تعالى: وهم يكفرون بالرحمن قل هو ربي لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وإليه متاب. قريش لما دعاهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وذكر الرحمن ما كانوا يعرفون ذلك، وكان مسيلمة الكذاب يسمى رحمن اليمامة، فاستنكروا على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الدعوة، وأنزل الله جل وعلا بشأنهم ما أنزل، وأنهم يكفرون بالرحمن لا يؤمنون به. ومن جحد اسما ثبت لله جل وعلا أو صفة من صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى جحدها يكون بريئا من الإسلام. يعني الإسلام أن يؤمن الناس بالله وملائكته وكتبه ومن الإيمان بها، الإيمان بأسمائه وصفاته سبحانه وتعالى. والرحمن قيل إن معناها رحمة الخلق أجمعين، إذا يقولون إن الرحيم خاصة برحمة الله للمؤمنين وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. وأما الرحمن فصفته أيضا جل وعلا في رحمته الخلق، ولو أن الخلق الناس يطيعون الله جل وعلا ما عذب أحدا، لأنه سبحانه وتعالى أكرم الأكرمين، وإنما يعذب من عصاه. قال وهم يكفرون بالرحمن، إذا قالوا هم وأنكروه فقل لهم يا محمد هو ربي ومالكي، لأن الرب في اللغة وفي العرب هو المالك، ولذلك يقال رب الدار ورب الدابة. عبد المطلب لما خرج لأبرهة وسأله أن يرد الإبل التي أخذها رجال أبرهة عندما غزا يريد أن يدمر الكعبة، قال له كنت أظنك تريد الدفاع عن شرفكم وإذا بك تطلب الإبل، فقال عبد المطلب أنا رب الإبل، يعني مالك الإبل، والبيت له رب يحميه. قال يحميه مني، ما يعني يستنكر، قال أنت وذاك. وكانت عاقبته ما قص الله عنه، ألم ترك يفعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل. فالله يقول لمحمد قل هو ربي لا إله إلا هو، لا إله سوى الله، وبين له قال عليه توكلت وإليه متاب. التوبة النافعة إنما التوبة أن يتوب العبد إلى الله جل وعلا وهو المتولي لعباده. يقول وفي صحيح البخاري عن علي رضي الله عنه قال حدث الناس بما يعرفون، يعني الشخص لما يتكلم مع عامة الناس أو حديث العهد بالإسلام ينبغي أن يحدثهم بالشيء الذي لا يثقل عليهم فهمه ويصعب، بل يحدثهم بما تستطيع أفهامهم أن تتصوره. ثم بين علي رضي الله عنه أنكم إذا حدثتم الناس بأمر لا تحتمله عقولهم إما أن يكذبوا الله جل وعلا فيما يقص علينا، أو يكذبون أو أن يكذبوا رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك الواعظ والناصح والمتحدث عليه أن يراعي شعور من يتخاطب معهم ويحدثهم، فلا يأتي بخبر لا تحتمله عقولهم، لأن العقول لما تكون في حال خلو من قوة الإيمان تكون سهلة الزعزعة. يقول حدث الناس ما يعرفون، وفي التحديث بما يعرف الناس متسع، ولهذا ينهى عن التقعر في الكلام واختيار الألفاظ التي يصعب على السامعين فهمها. والذي يفعل مثل هذه الأمور يأتي بما لا تحتمل العقول كأنه يسعى لأن يحمل الناس بأن يكذب الله ويكذب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال وروى عبد الرزاق عن معمر عن ابن طاووس عن أبي طاووس عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه أنه رأى رجلا انتفض لما سمع حديثا عن النبي في الصفات استنكارا لذلك. هؤلاء الذين يستنكرون الأسماء ومعانيها والصفات لما يقال لهم سمع الله أو رأى يفرون من هذا الكلام، يقول هذه من صفات المخلوقين. فصفات الكمال التي لا يعتبرها أي نقص أكملها لله جل وعلا، فهو جل وعلا السميع البصير الرؤوف الرحيم القوي المتين. لما اهتز هذا الشخص استنكارا لما سمع قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما: ما فرق هؤلاء؟ الفرق هو الخوف، يفرقون يخافون. قال: ما فرق هؤلاء؟ يجدون رقة عند محكمة لما يتحدث الإنسان، يسمعون كلاما عن النعيم والخير وسعادة الجنة وما فيها من خيرات، يكونون في حال اليسار. لما يأتي أمور عقولهم لضعف الإيمان فيها يستثقلها، يكون في حال خوف. يجدون رقة عند محكمة ويهلكون عند متشابهة. المتشابه هو الذي لا يكون كل واحد من يسهل عليه أن يفهمه، كما ذكر الله جل وعلا في سورة أوائل سورة آل عمران. فبعض المسائل لا يعلمها كل أحد، وإنما يعلمها الراسخون في العلم. فينبغي للمتحدث مع الناس أن لا يأتي بأمور عامة الناس لا يحسنون فهمها، وإنما يحدثهم بما يسهل عليهم فهمه. يقول: لما سمعت قريش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الرحمن أنكروا ذلك، فأنزل الله بحقهم وهم يكفرون بالرحمن. يعني ينكرون أن الله يتصف بهذه الصفة، مع أن البشر لما يتصف بها يحمد عليها. لما يكون الرحمن لما يتصف بأنه يرحم، فالله جل وعلا أرحم الراحمين. قال هنا فيه مسائل. المسألة الأولى: عدم الإيمان بجحد شيء من الأسماء والصفات. يعني من أنكر أن الله يسمع أو أنكر أن الله يرى، الله لما أمر موسى وهارون أن يذهبا إلى فرعون قال: إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. فلما يقول أحد: لا لا، الرؤية إنما المقصود بها الرحمة وكذا وكذا، يكون قد أنكر صفة من صفات الله جل وعلا. الله وصف ذكر عن نفسه أنه يسمع، وفي قصة دي والله يسمع تحاوركما، قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك بزوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما. تقول عائشة رضي الله عنها في المعنى: لقد كنت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والمرأة التي جاءت تشكو زوجها، تشكو حال زوجها، ويخفى علي شيء من كلامها، والله أخبر أنه يسمع كلامها، وبتحاورها مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول الثاني: تفسير آية الرعد التي وهم يكفرون بالرحمن. يعني الكفر هو ستر الشيء أو إخفاؤه، فقريش تستر يعني هالصفة العظيمة لله، ينكرونها كأنهم يسترونها. المسألة الثانية يعني فيها توجيه بترك التحديث بما لا يفهم السامع. ينبغي للإنسان سواء في أحاديث عامة أو في وعظ وإرشاد أو في تعليم أن يختار من الألفاظ ما لا يثقل فهمه على المستمع لمصلحة إفهام المستمع ورضا المعلم بما يسمع لينتفع به ويعمل، ولعل يحرجه ويحوجه أن يزعم الكذب، أن يزعم تكذيب الله أو تكذيب رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالذي يتخير الألفاظ التي لا يسهل فهمها وتصورها عند المستمعين كأنه يحملهم على أن يستنكروا أمر الله ويعرضوا عنه. فلا، المسألة الرابعة ذكر العلة، يعني علة هذا النهي أنه يعول بالشخص المستمع إلى أن يكذب الله أو يكذب رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولو لم يقصد عندما ينكر الشخص أن الله سميع، أن الله بصير، أنه جل وعلا يجيب، أنه يتكلم، الله خار وكلم الله موسى تكليما وكلمه ربه، فمنكر ذلك على خطر عظيم. وإذا استبعد هذا ولو لم يتعمد التكذيب يكون قد وقع في التكذيب. الخامسة كلام ابن عباس لمن استنكر شيئا من ذلك وأنه أهلك، لأن الإنسان لما يستنكر الحق كأنما هلك، لأن يعني الشأن في الإنسان أن يخبر الحق، وإذا أشكل عليه فهم الحق أن يسأل الفاهمين له حتى يكون على بينة من أمره. رحمة الله على الشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب، ورحمة الله على علماء الحق والهدى، ونسأل الله أن يجعلنا جميعا من محبي الصادقين في خدمة هذا الدين ونشره بين العباد، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن يجعلنا جميعا من المنتفعين بما نسمع ونقول. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala explaining the chapter in the Book of Tawheed by Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Rahimahullah Ta'ala pertaining to the individual who rejects and denies anything from the names and attributes of Allah. And this chapter began with the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Ar-Ra'd, and they disbelieved in Ar-Rahman. Say, indeed, Allah is my Lord. There is no deity worthy of worship except Him. Upon Him I put my trust, and to Him I return, or I seek forgiveness. The Shaykh Solomon Muhammad al-Rahidan Habibullah Ta'ala began by praising Allah and sending salams upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned that this is a summarized chapter from the chapters of the Book of Tawheed, which was authored for correcting that which has gone wrong in the affair of Tawheed in terms of the treatment of the people. And a portion of that which is in the book pertains to names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the author mentioned the chapter, meaning this chapter is informing about the individual who rejects anything from the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Shaykh explained that in Surah Al-Ra'd, where Allah Ta'ala says, and indeed, or and they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman, the Shaykh said, Allah Azza wa Jal sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet mentioned the name of Allah as Ar-Rahman, and they did not know, they were unaware, they were not familiar with this name. And Musaylama al-Kadhab, this individual, used to call himself Rahman al-Yamama. He used to call himself the most merciful of this particular place that he was from. So the individuals, when they heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing Allah with Ar-Rahman, the name Ar-Rahman, they rejected it. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this verse in Surah Ar-Ra'd. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, this is extremely important because the individual who rejects or denies any of the names and the attributes of Allah, this individual has freed himself of Islam. This individual has left Islam. Because from Iman and from faith is that an individual believes in Allah, he believes in his malaika, his angels, he believes in his books and the likes. But if and from belief in Allah Azza wa Jal is that you believe in his names and his attributes. With regards to the meaning of the name Ar-Rahman, it is said by some of the scholars that this is the mercy that Allah has to all of the creation. This is the mercy that Allah Azza wa Jal has to all of the creation, the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And Ar-Rahim, it is said that this is specifically for the believers. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Verily Allah was merciful to the believers. So this is the explanation of some of the scholars. Ar-Rahman is Allah's mercy to all of the creation, and Ar-Rahim is specifically for the believers. And verily Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful. And indeed, if everyone was to obey Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal would not punish the people. Because indeed Allah is generous. Indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is generous, and indeed Allah is forgiving. Then the Shaykh went on to mention an explanation of the second part of the verse where Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّي. Allah is ordering His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to the people, what is intended by Ar-Rahman? Say, He is my Lord. Say, He is my Lord. And the Shaykh mentioned, the Lord meaning the one, the owner, the one who possesses. And this is in the linguistics, the word Rabb, it means the owner. And that's why you hear individuals saying, Rabb al-Dar, the owner of the house. Or Rabb al-Daba, the owner of the animal. And this took place before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Abdul Muttalib, he went out to the individual that was approaching Mecca to try to destroy the Kaaba. And Abdul Muttalib went out and he met this individual, and he requested from him to find or to give back his camels. And this individual said, this individual responded to Abdul Muttalib, he said, I thought you were coming out to try to save, protect your honor and the likes. And Abdul Muttalib said, no, I own the camel. And verily this house, meaning the Kaaba, verily the Kaaba has its Lord who would protect it. So Abdul Muttalib used this terminology. He said, I'm the owner of the camel, and the Kaaba has its owner who will protect it. And the Shaykh said, and verily we know what was the end result, that which was mentioned in Surah Al-Fil. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this verse, he was ordered to say to the people, He is my Lord, there is no deity worthy of worship except Him. Verily I put my trust in Allah, and to Him I return, or to Him I seek His forgiveness. And the Shaykh mentioned, and that's upon the believer, that the believer repents to Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he mentioned, in continuing the explanation, the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, inform the people, or speak to the people that which they can comprehend. Do you want them to consider or to lie against Allah? Not lie against Allah, but do you want them to reject that which Allah has said, or that which the Messenger has said? The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala an explanation of this narration by Ali. He said, when you speak to the people, if an individual speaks to the people, or if they speak to the general public, or if they speak to the new Muslim, an individual who is new in Islam, it is upon them to speak to them with that which they can comprehend. They should not speak to them in a speech or a manner of speech which is above their level of comprehension. Because if you do so, they will deny that which you have brought them. It's the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, or the statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This, if you're speaking to them in that which they cannot comprehend, this would cause them to deny that which you have been mentioned, even if it is from the statement of Allah or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Shaykh said, because of that, if you are a lecturer, if you are one who lectures to the people, you should be very aware and cautious about what they understand. You should be aware and cautious about what they understand, and do not transmit or do not inform them about that which their intellect cannot handle. And the Shaykh mentioned, you're speaking to the general public or you're speaking to the new Muslim, because they don't have the strength in Iman. They don't have the strength in Iman for them to handle that which has been brought to them. So because of that, you should speak to them on their level. Then he went on to mention the explanation of the narration of Ibn Abbas. And the narration is, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he saw a person shivering when he heard a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the attributes of Allah, talking about the sifat of Allah. And the person was shivering in disapproval. He did not approve of what he heard from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he said, why do these people have fear? When they hear that which is precise, they find it acceptable. But when they hear that which is unspecified or unspecific, they find it difficult. So the Shaykh mentioned, and these are the type of individuals, they deny the names and the attributes of Allah, and they deny their meaning. They don't like to hear the names and the attributes and the meanings of the names and the attributes. They don't like to hear that Allah is the all-hearing. They don't like to hear that Allah Azza wa Jal sees. They run from these attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they say that these are the characteristics of the creation. How can we listen to this? How can we apply this to Allah? And the Shaykh said, that which they don't understand is that the most complete of characteristics is for Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no deficiency in the characteristics of Allah Azza wa Jal. But at the same time, Allah is the all-hearing. Allah is the all-seeing. Allah is merciful. Allah is strong. So Allah Azza wa Jal does have these characteristics, but they are perfect and they are free from deficiency. So when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, when he saw this individual shivering, he said, why are these people having fear? Why are these individuals having fear? When they hear about, for example, when they hear about paradise and the blessings in paradise, they find themselves having comfort. But when they hear about the characteristics and the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, you find these individuals having fear. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he admonished these individuals. The Shaykh mentioned, and the mutashabih, that which is unspecific, you do find that. And this is, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Ali Imran, in the beginning of Ali Imran. It's the type of affair that many people don't know about. It's unspecific. So if an individual comes into contact with people, once again, going off the statement of Ali, if an individual comes into contact with people that something is difficult for them to understand, and of course that's not the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you should make it easy for them so that they can understand it. Then the Shaykh mentioned the explanation of the last part of the chapter, and that was when the Quraysh, when they heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention Ar-Rahman, they rejected this and they denied this. So Allah ta'ala mentioned this verse, and the Shaykh mentioned that, yes, we mentioned this previously, they were rejecting this attribute and this name of Allah Azza wa Jal, and indeed Allah is the most merciful. Then going into the issues of this chapter, the first is that there is no faith in the individual who denies anything from the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal described Himself with these names and attributes. For example, when Allah Ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salatu salam, He said, إِنِّي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. When Allah spoke to Musa, and He told Musa and Harun to go to Fir'aun, Allah said to Musa, Verily, I am with you, yani Musa and Harun, I hear and I see. And when this verse was revealed, you didn't have anyone from the believers saying, oh, this doesn't mean that. This doesn't mean that Allah actually sees. This means that Allah has mercy on the likes of that. This wasn't the way of the people of the past. They didn't distort the meaning of the attribute of Rahman. So the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal described Himself with these attributes. So if Allah Azza wa Jal has described Himself with these attributes, it is upon an individual to believe. And likewise you have in the hadith where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in Surah Mujadila. In Surah Mujadila, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, a female came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she wanted to complain about something. A female came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she wanted to complain about something. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a portion of the house and Aisha was at a distance. And Aisha said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, فَتْسَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, Aisha said, I heard some of her statement, and some of her statement I couldn't hear. And Aisha was in the same house, she was in the same area. Aisha said, SubhanAllah, I heard some of her statement, and some of her statement I couldn't hear, but verily Allah Azza wa Jal, who is above His throne, He heard everything. So this shows that Allah Azza wa Jal hears. And many other verses in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala describes Himself with certain characteristics. The second issue is the tafsir of Ayat al-Ra'd, and that is what is meant when Allah Ta'ala says, Verily they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. The Shaykh mentioned this was because when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this name of Allah, they disbelieved in it. They did not know, they were unaware. What is this? You know, what is this Ar-Rahman? So the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to respond to them, Verily He is my Lord, to the end of the verse. The third issue is about abandoning speaking to the people that which they cannot comprehend. And the Shaykh mentioned, if you are speaking to the general public, and if you are reminding them, you are admonishing them, you're giving them guidance, it's befitting that you speak to them on their level so that they can benefit from your speech and that you do not cause any type of harm in the individual or rejection. Because this would lead to them rejecting the statement of Allah or the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So by you speaking to them in a manner or on a level that they cannot comprehend, they would deny that which has come by Allah or by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fourth issue is mentioning why. Why should you speak to the people on their level? Why? Because if you do not, then they would reject something from Allah or something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if they don't intend it. Even if they don't intend it. And the Shaykh mentioned, you know, although we understand and we have full faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-hearing, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, the all-seeing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah on the day of judgment, Allah describes Himself as approaching. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as speaking, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Verily Allah spoke to Musa with speech. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. Verily His Lord spoke to Him. So these, here you have in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal describing Himself with speech. So it is not for anyone to reject it. And indeed, the individual who rejects the sifat, the names or the attributes of Allah, this individual is in great danger. He is in great danger. And then the fifth issue, and that is the speech of Ibn Abbas for the individual who has denied anything from the names and the attributes of Allah, and how this individual has become destroyed. And the Shaykh mentioned, yes, the individual who denies anything from the names and the attributes, this individual would be destroyed. And then the Shaykh closed by asking Allah Azza wa Jal to make, by having mercy, asking Allah to have mercy upon Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab and to have mercy upon the scholars, and asking Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from amongst those who love the people who teach and propagate the religion. يسأل السائل ما هو أحسن شرح لكتاب التوحيد حفظكم الله تعالى؟ ما هو أحسن شرح لكتاب التوحيد؟
له عدة شروح، شرحه الشيخ سليمان ومطبوع شرحه هو أولهم، ثم شرحه الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن حسن جد الشيخ الإسلام أيضا بما يسمى فتح المجيد، وهو المتداول. وللشيخ أنا الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز تعليقات خفيفة عليه، وللشيخ عبد الرحمن بن سعدية تعليقات على أكثر الأبواب لكنها مختصرة، وكله الحمد مفيد مفيدة، والكتاب نفسه هو الأساس في هذه الأمور.
Individuals asking, what's the best explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed? And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala, he responded by saying, there are many explanations of this book. From the best of those explanations is by his grandson Sulaiman, and then from the explanations by his grandson Abdurrahman and Abdurrahman bin Hassan bin Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. And that explanation is called Fath al-Majid, and it is present, it's available, it's printed. And you have some comments. You have an explanation which is actually comments by Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala. And likewise, you have the comments by Sheikh Abdurrahman Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala on most of the chapters. And he said all of them are very beneficial, but the origin is the book itself. The origin is the book itself, and it is indeed beneficial.
وهناك شروح أخرى، شرح للشيخ ابن عتيق إبطار التنديد، وشروح عصرية، لكن المتداول أكثر وأكثر هو فتح المجيد.
And he said, and there are also other explanations of the book, and from amongst them is the explanation by Ibn Atib. And you have present-day explanations, but that which is from amongst the explanations, that which is widely used and widely spread is the one by Abdul Rahman bin Hassan, and that is Fath al-Majid. ويسأل الشخص الله يحفظكم هل يمكن الشخص أن يقرأ كتاب التوحيد ويفهمه بدون قراءته على عالم؟
إذا كان الذي يقرأه يرجع فيما يشكل عليه مما يقرأ إلى كتب العلم فيمكن أفهم، لكنه محتاج إلى أن يكون له اطلاع على كلام العلماء. فيه أمور الرجل العالم يحتاج إلى أن يرجع في فهمها إلى الكتب.
The individual is asking, is it possible that an individual can read Kitab al-Tawheed without having a scholar to read the book to? And the Shaykh says, it's possible that an individual would read the book, but if anything is unclear to him, then he should go to the other books of the scholars. He should refer to the other books of the scholars. It's important that he knows the speech of the scholars. in some of the affairs or some of the issues in the book. And even a scholar, a person of knowledge, they would refer to other books for further clarity. يسأل السائل ما هي أول علامة الساعة؟
علامات الساعة كثيرة، من أوائلها بعثة النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإنه يقول بعث أنا الساعة كهاتين وألصق بين أصابعه، لكن المدها الزمنية في حسابها عند الله ليست كفي حسابها عندنا، عندنا على قدر أعمارنا وعلومنا ومعارفنا، ومع ذلك فقد مر كثير من علامات الساعة. النبي لما سأله جبريل في الحديث الصحيح المعروف متى الساعة، قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل، وسأخبرك عن أماراتها يعني عن علامات الساعة. قال أن تلد الأمة ربها وربتها، يعني أن يحصل جهاد وفتوح وتكثر النساء المملوكات لأسيادهن، فتكون هي مملوكة لسيدها وتحمل منه، فيصير ولدها كأنه مالكها. ألم تلد الأمة ربها وربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة رعاء الشاة، يقول أن ترى الناس البسطاء يكونون أصحاب عمارات وقصور وأملاك. وذكر أشياء، ومما أخبر فيه أيضا وقد حدث، قال لا تقوم الساعة حتى تخرج نار من المدينة تضيء لها أعناق الإبل في بصرة في الشام، في أدنى بلاد الشام، وهذه خرجت سنة 615 من الهجرة، فقد فترة حتى أن راعي الإبل في بادية الشام يرى نورا تلك النار في رقاب إبله في الليل. وأما العلامات الكبرى فإنها إذا بدأت فهي تتوالى، إذا وقع القول عليهم إلى آخره، الدابة، أن يخرج الدجال، أن تعود الشمس من المغرب للمشرق، أن تخرج نار من عدن جنوب الجزيرة تسوق الناس إلى المحشر كأن ما هي تسير بعقل. إذا قال الناس ناموا في القيلولة يستريحون، وقفت تتعب وفي الليل ثم تدعو، إذا ناموا في الليل استراحوا من عناء الرحلة وقفت حتى تردهم إلى المحشر. وإذا جاءت العلامات الكبار تتوالى.
Individuals asking, what's the first sign of the Day of Judgment? And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala in response to that question, that the signs of the Day of Judgment are many. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in a narration that he said, I have been sent along with the Day of Judgment like these two. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought together his middle finger and his index finger, informing that the Day of Judgment is close. But indeed, the time with Allah is different from the time with the creation. We only know our time and that which we are aware of, but with Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is different. And with saying that, it is important to know that many of the signs of the Day of Judgment had already come. For example, you had some of them mentioned in the hadith where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when is the hour, when is the day of judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the one who is being questioned is not more knowledgeable than the questioner. But I will inform you about some of its signs. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the female will give birth to her master. And this is informing of the large number of lands that would be conquered. So much so that you would have many female slaves, and they would give birth to their owner's children, so it is as if the child owns his mother. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you would see the farmers or the sheep herders, they would be building large buildings to show you that individuals who were once poor and simple, these individuals will become owners of large, tall buildings. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned many other things. From amongst the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed of, and it has taken place, is that a fire would come from Al-Madinah, so much so that an individual in Syria would see the light from the fire. And this actually took place in the year 615 Hijri, that a fire took place from Medina, and individual sheep herders and camel herders in Syria, they were able to see the light at night from the fire. And the Shaykh mentioned, and you also have major signs of the Day of Judgment. But when the major signs began, they would be continuous until the Day of Judgment. And from amongst them, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, is the coming of the beast. And from amongst them is the Dajjal, the Antichrist. From amongst them is the sun rising from the east. And from amongst them is the fire that would come from Aden, which is in the south. And this purpose of this fire would gather the people and make them walk in the direction of the area of the Day of Resurrection. And the Shaykh said, and there are many more, and that which you should know about the major signs is that once they start, they will be continuous until the Day of Judgment.
ومن الآيات المتقدمة ما ذكره الله في سورة القمر، اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر، فرأى أهل مكة انشقاق القمر قبل هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد قص الله علينا في كتابه حصول انشقاق القمر.
And also from the signs that took place early, that which Allah mentioned in the beginning of in the first verse of Surah Al-Qamar, Allah says, the day or the time has come, or the time is getting closer, and or the time has neared, and the moon has split. And the people of Mecca, they saw, they actually witnessed the splitting of the moon before the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Al-Madinah. And this is one of the signs that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned and informed us of in His Quran. This is the shakhs. إذا كان يستمع إلى قراءة سورة الكهف يوم الجمعة فهل يكتسب الأجر؟
لا شك أن المستمع لقراءة من يقرأ القرآن استمعوا له أنه يثاب، لكن لا يكون ثوابه كثواب من قرأها بنفسه.
The question is asking, am I rewarded for listening to Surah Al-Kahf on a day on Friday? Sheikh said, there's no doubt that there is a reward for an individual who listens to the recitation of the Quran, but the reward for listening is not on the level, or is not similar to the reward of the individual who reads and recites himself. يسأل الشخص لدي ولد سميته عبد الفتاح ولكني أناديه بفتحي أو فتوحي فهل يجوز ذلك تلك التسمية؟
لا حرج في هذا اللفظ ولا شك لو ناديته بما يحمله من اسم لكان أولى، لكن ما فعلته بمناداته فتوحي وأمثاله فلا حرج في ذلك.
Person is asking, I have a child, I've named him Abdul Fattah, but I have a nickname for him which is Fatli or Fatuhi or the likes. Is it allowed for me to call him this? Sheikh said there's no problem in you calling him with the nickname, but that which is better and more preferred is that you call him with his original name, but there's no problem in you calling him by the nickname. يسر الشخص المعنى قوله تعالى يوم يبدل الأرض غير الأرض والسماوات والأرض.
هذا تبديل من الله جل وعلا عندما يأتي وقت قيام الساعة، هذه الجبال الشاخصة تكون كأنها سراب كونه يبدلها غير الأرض، أيضا هو جل وعلا فعال لما يريد. المتبادر للذهن أن شكل الأرض لما بدلت تغير شكلها عما كانت عليه، وكذلك في السماوات. ذكر عن قيام الساعة السماء انشقت، إذا السماء انفطرت، إلى غير ذلك كان في ما ذكره الله جل وعلا في حال قيام الساعة.
Person asking about the verse where Allah Ta'ala mentioned the day that the earth will be changed. In Surah Ibrahim, and the Sheikh mentioned Allah Azza wa Jalla will change the earth, and this would be on the day of judgment. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned, the mountains would become demolished. And indeed, Allah Ta'ala, He does that which He wills. So that which is understood is that the shape of the earth as we know it would change. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned, and this would also take place with the scythe. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned this in different places in the Qur'an where He mentioned, verily the sky would be opened, verily the sky would burst and the likes of that. So this informs you that the shape of the earth and the sky, there will actually be a change in it. ما معنى قوله تعالى الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض.
الله جل وعلا وعد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن يفتح له مكة، وصدقنا يعني حقق ذلك. لما أمر الله إبراهيم بموجب الرؤيا، عندما قال لولده إني أرى في المنام إني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى، قال افعل ما تؤمر. لما أراد أن يذبح ولده أنزل قد صدقت الرؤيا، يعني قد عملت العمل الذي يجعل الرؤيا كأنها حصلت وقعت.
This statement of Allah عز وجل سورة الزمر. The person is asking, what is it meant in Surah Al-Zumar where Allah Ta'ala said that the people would say, all praise be to Allah, the one who's been honest, or the one who's been truthful in his promise, and he has inherited for us the earth. The Shaykh said, Allah Azza wa Jalla had promised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would allow the believers to conquer Mecca. So this is that which is meant. And Allah Ta'ala was truthful in his promise, and it actually took place that the believers, they conquered Mecca. And similar to this is another verse in the Quran where Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in a dream that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was ordering him to sacrifice his child, Ismail. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam was ready to fulfill that which he had seen from the order of Allah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to him that you have fulfilled or you have been truthful with that which you have seen. This was between Ibrahim and Ismail, because Ismail said, "Oh my father, do that which you were ordered to do." So this is that which is meant, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal has been truthful in his promise. That's what's meant in the verse, and that the land is Mecca, as the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala. يسأل السائل ما حكم رد صور من نسخ الإنجيل أو التوراة على الجدران الجامع على جدران الجامعات في الدول الإسلامية كما يحصل في المصحف أو نحو ذلك؟
الصحيح أنه لا يجوز ترسيخ ورق من المصحف على الجدران ولا من التوراة والإنجيل. وإن كانت التوراة وكان الإنجيل محرفين لكن ما فيهما من حق جاء في القرآن ما يغني عن كل، والقرآن ما نزل ليجعل لوحات تجمل فيها الجدران، وإنما نزل ليقرأ ويعمل به، فمن حرفه عما نزل من أجله يكون قد أذنب وعسى.
Person is asking about the permissibility or the impermissibility of the ruling of placing pictures or copies of pages of the Bible on the walls, as you see in certain universities or museums in Muslim countries. The Shaykh said this is not permissible. It is not permissible to put pages of the Quran and likewise pages of the Bible on the walls, even if the Bible has been distorted. Even if it has been changed and distorted, it is still not permissible to place copies of it on the wall. And the Shaykh mentioned, and verily that which is of truth, which is still present in the Bible, it is in the Quran. So there's no need of the Bible itself. And then he also mentioned, the Quran was revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal not to beautify the walls, but rather it was revealed by Allah to act upon. So any individual who uses the Quran in a manner which is not in compliance with the reason why it was revealed, this individual has committed a sin. يسأل السائل لما جاءت المجادلة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ماذا أو مما كانت تشتكي؟
كان زوجها أراد أن يحلف عليه بهجران، وكانت تشكو منه أنه لا يستطيع أن يقوم هو بمصالحه. جاءت لا تقصد بمجيئها إيذاءه، إنما تقصد أنه ما فعل هو لا يقدر على أن يقوم بحاجاته هو بنفسه. هي جاءت تتحدث عن أمور تتعلق بما قاله زوجها لها ما يجعلها تحرم عليه لو قبل منه ذلك القول، فأخبرت أنه أيضا لا يستطيع أن يقوم بأعماء نفسه بدونها، يعني هي فعلت ما فعلت رحمة به أيضا.
The person is asking in Surah Al-Mujadila, it was mentioned in a lesson that a female came to the Prophet ﷺ and she was complaining about something. So the person is saying, what was she complaining about? the Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the husband had some difficulty, and he was trying to overcome that difficulty, and he swore that he would not allow his wife to assist him in overcoming those difficult actions. So the female was basically saying to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he cannot perform these things by himself. I'm only trying to assist him. He cannot perform these things by himself, but he's swearing that I will not assist him, so it's making it very difficult for her to approach him. So this was that which she was complaining to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about. Remind the brothers and sisters to keep the questions short. If the question is long, it should be translated before coming to the lesson. Yes, sir. ما هو الفرق بين المغفرة والعفو؟
هو لا فرق كبير. يعني المغفرة من لازمها أن الشخص لا يحاسب ويعاقب على ما حصل منه من خلل، والعفو قد يكون أشمل، لأنه كأنه ستر هذا الشيء كله، لكن المعنى تجتمع في كون الشخص المعفو عنه أو الذي غفر له أنه لا يعاقب على فعله الذي اقتضى عقوبة لولا عفو الله أو مغفرته له.
Person is asking, what's the difference between forgiveness and we say overlooking, and the Sheikh mentioned there's not much of a difference. Maghfirah, and from maghfirah or forgiveness, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not hold the person accountable for that which was that which they have performed. And al-afu, which is overlooking or pardoning, I should say, to pardon, this is more complete in a sense that it's that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala totally pardons the individual. So not only doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold the person accountable, but he also pardons him, and it's very similar. The Shaykh said it's not much of a difference between the two. And they both, the Shaykh said, they both mean that the person is forgiven and that the individual is not held accountable for that which they have performed. يسأل الشخص يسأل السائل الذي يتأول الأسماء والصفات عن غير معانيها هل هو كافر؟
إذا أنكرها أساسا فهو يكفر، وأما إذا زعم أنه فعل ما يفعل تعظيما لله فهو أيضا آثم، لكن ما دام يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ويؤدي فرائض الإسلام فهو لا يكون كفرا كفرا يخلد في النار.
The person is asking, the individual who gives or distorts the meaning of the names and attributes of Allah, does this individual fall into disbelief? And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, if the person denies the name and the attribute, if they deny the actual name and the attribute, then this person has disbelieved. And there's no doubt if the person, even if they do so and they claim to do so to have reverence for Allah, this is a major mistake. And the Shaykh mentioned, but the individual who does not deny the actual name and the attribute, rather he distorts the meaning, but this individual has declared his faith in Allah and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he fulfills the obligations and the obligations of Islam, then this person has performed he doesn't fall into major disbelief, which would keep him, he doesn't fall into major belief, which, disbelief, which would keep him in the hellfire forever. Because he has not disbelieved in the actual name and the attribute, but he has distorted the meaning. يسأل سعد لي أخ عمره 12 سنة وهو نصراني، فكيف أدعوه إلى الإسلام؟
هذا مميز، يدعى الإسلام يبين له أن من لا يسلم ويموت على غير الإسلام أنه إلى النار، إلى جهنم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما عاد فتى يهوديا مريضا وعند الفتوى أبوه يهودي، فما كان من النبي إلا أن دعاه للإسلام الغلام هذا المريض. فالغلام نظر إلى والده، فما كان من أبيه إلا أن قال أطع أبا القاسم. النبي يدعوه ليسلم، فما كان منه إلا أن أسلم وشاهد بسماع أبيه. فالمميز يفهم إذا دعي للإسلام.
Individuals asking about his 12-year-old brother, he would like to call him to Islam. The Sheikh said this individual, he has the ability to, he's of the age of, he can distinguish. So you should call this individual to Islam, and you should inform him that if he dies upon other than Islam, then his abode will be the hellfire. Indeed, it took place with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he visited a Jewish boy who was sick, and the Jewish boy, his father was present with him when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him to Islam, and the Jewish boy looked up at his father for approval, and the father said, "Obey the father of Qasim," meaning this was the kunya, like the nickname of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the boy entered into Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the person to Islam. And the boy, by hearing his father, he entered into the fold of Islam. So the individual who can distinguish, it's clear for him, so he can comprehend, and you should invite him to an Islam.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحابته ومن اهتدى بهداه، ونسأل الله جل وعلا أن يحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها، وأن يصلح ذرياتنا وقرباتنا وأحبابنا وأحبابنا، ونسأله جل وعلا أن ينصر أهل الحق على أهل الباطل، وأن يسمعنا عاجلا غير آجل الانتصار على النصيري الخبيث الذي يحكم سوريا، وأن يهدي الله جل وعلا أهل سوريا للحق، كما نسأل الله جل وعلا أن ينصر المسلمين في شرق آسيا بجهة بورما، وأن ينزل عذابه أليم عقابه على البوذيين، كما نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يرينا في المتفرجين على ما يحصل من عدوان متكرر على المسلمين في بلاد العرب وغيرها، أن يرينا فيهم عجائب قدرته، وأعني بذلك روسيا والصين والدول التي لا تعين على أن يمتلك المقاتلون في سوريا السلاح الذي يقيهم سطوة الطائرات. فنسأل الله أن يعاقب كل من يقدر على نفعهم ويمتنع، وأن يعاجل بالعقوبة الدول الواقفة سندا لهم كروسيا والصين وإيران وحكومة العراق الرافضية والحزب الخبيث في لبنان. وأن يرينا آثار نقمته أيضا على كل من يستطيع أن يمنع العدوان ثم لا يمنعه، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن يحفظ على هذه المملكة أمنها على دينها ودنياها، وأن يحقق ذلك لجميع المسلمين في كل مكان. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.
The Sheikh mentioned the name of Allah and sent peace and the prayers upon the beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked Allah to give us a good ending and to protect our and also our family members, our offspring, and those who we love. And he asked Allah to assist the truth and to belittle and remove the falsehood. And he asked Allah to show us very quickly a victory for the people of Syria over their oppressive ruler, and to guide the people of Syria to that which is true, and also to assist and support the Muslims of Asia, such as the areas of Burma, and to remove the punishment upon which is afflicting them now. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove any type of calamity or punishment which is befalling the Muslims in any Muslim land, and to punish those who are supporting the punishment, such as Russia and China, and those who are assisting them, and those who are preventing weapons from reaching the troops so that they can defend themselves against the air battles, the air strikes and the likes. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal to deal with those who are supporting these oppressive countries, such as Russia and China and Iran and other places in Lebanon and the likes of that. And he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to protect the security in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and to give us the best of this life and the next. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barakatuh. Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam.